FCUM Radio.
FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers, and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. On this week's show, we'll have reaction and interviews from the weekend's league match with Grantham Town. But before that, it's now time for this week's club news. And we start this week with AGM news, as at last week's members' meeting, the club announced a new and extended working relationship with Manchester City Council. And for more on this, before Saturday's match, Ben caught up with club board member Adrian Seddon.
Well, Adrian, a big thank you for joining us, and happy Christmas, just to explain what the bed music is in the background. Joining us pre-kickoff, got some big news this past week from the AGM and some excellent news about the council relationship.
Yeah, so the first sort of short story, I suppose, is that we have a new deal with our existing beer supplier, Holtz, for another 3 years. They're the only company we've had since we've been at Broadhurst Park. We've really developed a great relationship with them, and you know, for instance, they support the fans' shuttle bus that gives us free transport to the ground and back home again after the game. They really worked with us, so it's great to have another 3 years with them. So that's the first news. But then obviously the big news that was announced to members at the AGM was the fact that we've been in talks with the council, Manchester City Council, for over a year now, about our relationship, really, about where we go, and we've finally been able to sort of give the good news to supporters that we've reached an agreement with the council. So I think the first thing is to say where we started off a year ago. The relationship was a little bit strained. There were things that perhaps we could have done better, things like that, which sort of alienated the council a bit. And I think, you know, we also weren't very good at telling them just what we do in the community, how important an asset we are in the North Manchester area, in the Mostyn area. So the first thing we did as a board was get the right individuals involved in helping us. So we got the Stakeholders Relationships Committee up and running. Now that involves members who are involved in councils, not necessarily Manchester City Council, but other councils, and know the way that councils work. We have auditors, we have a former barrister, the sort of skills we were lacking, really, that we needed help with as a board. And we also reached out to some of the figures in the local community, because we are a community asset, and the important thing was how do we develop that, because we are, as a community benefit society, that's what we need to do. And we talked to, for instance, we had Paul Murphy, who was a local councillor at the time that we came to Mostyn, and had been very supportive of the club in its bid to build a ground here, but really had gone away from the club. We hadn't seen him for a couple of years, and he obviously he's quite a big figure in the local community. He had been Lord Mayor of Manchester, he'd been a councillor for many years, now retired. And also Peter Taverner, who was the former principal of Mancap, and we had a great relationship with Mancap when we first arrived at the ground. He'd retired as well. And these are people that had the local knowledge and the local political knowledge as well to help progress talks. So we got them back on board with FC, back infused with FC. And the recommendation that we had was that the first thing we should do with the council is to just show them what we are in the community, because we're good at doing things, but we're not good at telling people that we've done things. So we created a community impact statement about 7 or 8 months ago, which detailed everything FC does in the local community. And I'm a board member. I get community reports every month, and it still blew me away. I didn't realise what we were doing. So if I didn't know, what hope is there for anybody else to know what we're doing in the community? And first thing, so, you know, we started, before we even started talking about the future relationship with Manchester City Council, we started talking about what we do in the community, what a valuable community asset we are. And that was the starting point. And from then, the conversations really turned very quickly from some difficult conversations we'd had before to actually being very supportive of us. They realised what we do. The last, few months have been finalising really the arrangements. It's not just because the problem we had, obviously, when we first built this ground, we had a budget of 4.8 million. The ground cost close to 7 million to build, so we had a deficiency. Now, you know, the whys and the ifs have been debated many times. There's no need to go into that now. We are where we are with that. But what we needed to do, when we built this ground, we needed to take a lot of short-term finance out. And when I got on the board in 2016, the club was losing money every month. So the first thing to do was to stabilise the ship. There were some difficult decisions. It was a very, very difficult time for the club, but it had to be done. We had to improve the way we did things, and we did. And we've turned the club around from losing money month in, month out, to now posting an operating profit every month. So that was the first thing, stabilise the ship and show that we're actually, you know, a going concern, a club that could stand on its own two feet. The next thing, though, is we had all this debt that had to be paid back around now. And we couldn't, you know, we'd managed to get an operating profit this year of just over 80,000, which is great. But that doesn't generate enough money. There's interest as well to be paid on our debts. And then on top of that, you need to find money to make repayments. So that wasn't realistic. So what we did, we started talking about the council about getting a bit of longer term finance. Now that we're financially stable and we had to demonstrate we were, and we had to give them confidence that we were, to get a bit of longer term finance. So we've refinanced with them. We also refinanced with Big Issue Invest, which is an ethical lender that wanted to get involved with us, and so that we can pay back all the short term debt that we've accrued on the ground, put it into a 15-year repayment plan. And then importantly, because this doesn't stand on its own two feet, we also talk to the council about developing commercially this ground, because this ground's got a lot of potential that we haven't tapped into, some because of some of the restrictions we have. So now it's not just a loan facility, it's also working together in a partnership. So we now have the council, a council officer that attends our board meetings. They've given us a lot of help with governance, for example. So we've developed a governance plan and based it on a Sport England document that showed perfect governance. Actually, we do a lot of this stuff already, which was good news, but there are things we can do better, and the council have helped us sort of look at that and how do we develop. For instance, we only have two board members at the moment. How do we make it more attractive for people to join the board? And also commercially, we set up a few months ago a commercial strategy group, and again, we've looked for skilled members within the membership that can help out, that have the right skills to help the board. And we've brought two council officers into that as well, so you know they can help us. They have a lot of knowledge about what we can apply for, what we can't, you know, some of the commercial arrangements that can be done in the local area, and we've got them on board. So it's a real partnership now, not only lending us some money to refinance the debt, but also helping us develop the stadium so that we can really develop what we do in this community, and also so we can make enough money to pay back all the debt that we have over the long term.
And what does this mean for the club day to day now? Is the playing budget going to go up as a result of this, or what are members going to be able to see as a tangible benefit?
I think we were living week to week. If you remember this time last year, we had to play Chadderton in a friendly game. We had a Saturday free, and we were so short of money that we had to play just to raise enough money to make sure that it was a doubtful whether we could pay the staff's Christmas pay. And because we had a run of, I think it was about 4 weeks where we didn't have a home game, and we had a whole load of home games at the end of December, early January, but that came too late for payday. And we were that short of cash. It was a cash flow problem. We had to bring in a temporary emergency friendly. The players were great. They played for free. And the fans, quite a few came and spent money, and we were able to get past that. But really, you're talking, you know, you're living hand to mouth. You're desperately hoping there isn't a postponement at the wrong time, because a postponement at the wrong time can really, really hit you hard. And also, you're planning. Sometimes you make decisions because of immediate need, and they're not necessarily good for the long term. So, for instance, that Chadderton game, we could have brought a league match forward and played a league game. It had to be an away game the way it worked out, so we wouldn't have got the money. But we would have been able to play a European opponent possibly here in February. That was all lined up, but we needed that immediate money. That would probably have been better for the club in the long term, you know, better for the fans. But we couldn't afford not to play a home game. And a lot of the decisions we've made, you know, we've we've got some great relationships with our suppliers, but you know, we've occasionally had to stretch the credit lines with them, and they've been great. People like Holtz have really understood us, but it's not a long-term way of working. You know, you need to get yourself into a position where you can start thinking strategically about where the club goes from here. There are things that we're looking at, things like the academy, things like bringing in a commercial manager, but these sort of things will require a little bit of short-term money before they start bearing fruits. Now, in the long term, that's what the club needs, but last year we couldn't afford to do things like that. We just didn't have that short-term money, so it's fantastic. Playing budget, I mean, we've talked to Neil that, you know, he understands the constraints of the playing budget, and he's done a fantastic job, really. If you look at the team we put out now, it's really the cream of the leagues below us that he's picked, individual talent that he's seen in the leagues below, and I don't know how he's managed to get it right almost every time. And he's brought players that he feels are playing at too low a level and brought them up to us, and they've all gelled, and it's great. But we have talked about the fact that when we do go back up, and, you know, at the moment we're close to the playoffs, the plan wasn't to go up this year, but we're certainly not going to complain if we do go up this year, and certainly from where we are here now, we've got to have an ambition to make the playoffs. If we do go up, you know, a lot of clubs were spending double and more what we were spending, so we do really need to sort of think where when we go up we need to be better suited, and I think the current team we have would be better suited anyway, but we do need to be better suited for the league above.
I mean, that was the thing, wasn't it? I mean, we were competing in a league where the playing budgets were far superior, and we were basically hitting the ground running with the stadium and trying to do things as best we could at the time commercially and that kind of thing. This deal, this arrangement here, gives us a bit more of a solid ground to be able to do that more effectively next time.
Yeah, definitely. We've got the platform now. So, you know, the message is, you know, you don't think that because this has been announced that everything's rosy now. It's not. You know, we have, if you count also the community shares, we have the best part of £3 million worth of debt, which we, you know, we do have an obligation with community shareholders as well. So we're not in easy street by any means. But what we've done is we've put the debt over a longer period of time. It's a good deal for the council as well, because we pay interest according to there's EU directions on interest that we have to follow, so they get interest out of it. We get a much longer term facility, but now that's given us the platform now to put all the things that we're going to put in now, with our working relationship with the council and with things like bringing a commercial manager and things like that, so we can raise our revenue even further, which is what we need to do, because yeah, an 80,000 operating profit is great for a team like us, but if we want to repay our debt and we want to invest in a football team, we probably need to double that next year. And that's what we're going to work to.
And it's not just the commercial side, it's the community side, and that's pretty much why the council got involved in the first place. So that
it goes hand in hand. I mean, the more we can develop as a club, the more revenue we can bring in, the more we'll spend on community, because, you know, as I said, we're a community benefit society. I said that at the start, and what that means is that we put the community above our members. You know, we don't have shareholders who'll take any money out of the club. You know, the fans are all the shareholders, and there's rules that they can't take any money out. The directors can't take any money out. So the surpluses that we make, we need to be able to repay our debt, and we need to be able to raise more money for the football team and more money for our community programmes. And one of the things we're doing with the council is really developing, you know, they're helping us as well with what sort of grants we should go for to develop the community programme even more, you know, what grants are appropriate. Because I think in the past we maybe were accepting grants a bit willy-nilly. If we could see a grant, we'd go for it. But there wasn't a lot of strategic planning of actually what do we want to do. And we're now concentrating on key areas, so health and well-being, community cohesion and employability. Those are the three things that we feel as a football club with this sort of facility we're ideally matched for, and that's the sort of grants now we're looking to develop to try and develop those programmes, and not really go off on a tangent with something that's maybe less relevant.
FC United board member Adrian Seddon there speaking on Saturday. Elsewhere at the club, and Neil Reynolds had a busy week managing his squad ahead of the weekend game with Grantham Town. Here's Neil speaking to Ben on Friday night.
Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us on a Friday evening. Finlay Smith, obviously, he's not been, he wasn't registered in time for the FA Trophy, but that's changed for tomorrow.
Yeah, Finn was gutted last week. We were gutted that the paperwork didn't go through in time, but, you know, he's trained Tuesday, he's trained Thursday. The paperwork's gone through, he's registered. And listen, he's a really exciting talent. You know, I've no doubt that the FC fans are going to really take to him. And, you know, I don't mean to put him under any pressure. He's only, you know, he's only a little lad, you know, 5'2", 5'3", but by word, he's got quick feet and he's got a delivery, he's got goals in his locker. And, you know, he's going to learn how we play. but I'm sure over the course of the season he's going to become a real fan's favourite.
And to add to the flavour of headaches for yourself when it comes to selection and that kind of thing, you've made a loan signing, and it's a bit of an important one, really, because it's all about cover at in an area where we might be a bit short.
Yeah, Ben, I mean, I've been looking to, you know, strengthen the centre-half area this season. Since Tom Dean left, Mark Elfold left, Aaron Morris has now secured that right-back slot on his own, and has really got to focus on playing right-back. So, you know, the way that Doyle and Jones play, they're always going to pick up niggles. Both of them didn't train on Tuesday. You know, one with a kind of a sore knee and one with a dead leg. And, you know, they put the hearts on the lines and the bodies on the lines every single week. But, you know, coming into Christmas, it was important that, you know, looking at the two of them, that I got some defensive cover. I spoke to the first team manager at Bradford City, a good friend of mine, Gary Boyer, this week. And, you know, he was just asking how things were going and where we'll be looking to improve, if anywhere. And I said, listen, I can't guarantee minutes, but centre-half is a shirt. They've got a kid called George Sikora. He's made his first team debut this season. Big, athletic, 6'1", 6'2", size of a lad. He's, you know, he came through training last night. He looked the real, he looks the real deal. And, you know, I've said to Bradford that we'd like to take him in for a month. I think he's with us until January the 12th. He can't play in the trophy game on the 11th because I think he's been cup tied already. I don't see if he was on loan somewhere. But he's going to be a fantastic addition to us and gives us that much-needed centre-half cover, so he'll come into the squad tomorrow.
And finally, for squad news, speaking of low knees, and it's a question I used to ask you a lot, but I've stopped asking you for some reason. Paddy Wharton,
he's back fit,
but he's going out on loan to get some match sharpness up.
Yeah, so listen, Pad's done a lot of running the last few weeks and, you know, been testing his knee and his knee's come through, you know, a lot of tests. And Paddy wants to go out and get games now. He certainly doesn't want to play for FC United until he's had, you know, 4 to 6 games, and that's his own request. We've got a good relationship with the new Atherton manager, Brad Cook. So, you know, they've got some important games coming over the next few weeks. So we've said, you know, it's a gentleman's agreement that Paddy goes on there, goes out there for 4 to 6 games. I need to stress to everybody, this has been an agreement, and it is in writing, that if Atherton aren't to manage to get past Barrow in the FA Trophy, he won't be eligible to play for Atherton against FC United. But we'll obviously, you know, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So Paddy goes out to get some games, and hopefully he returns to us in the new year fully match fit and ready to, you know, go toe-to-toe with Cam for the number one jersey.
FC United manager Neil Reynolds speaking to Ben there ahead of Saturday's clash with Grantham Town. And it is to that match that we turn to now, and to hear if FC United could keep their unbeaten run going, it's over to FC Live at Broadhurst Park.
So, hello everybody and welcome to Broadhurst Park. Stato Paul joins me for this opening bit of the show. Hello Paul.
Good afternoon.
It's a bit moody here today, isn't it? It's gone all dark all of a sudden. We need the floodlights on, I think. Grantham Town against FC United. The league's leading goal scorer is taking on one of the worst defences. What could possibly go wrong?
That's one step out of the way. we go back to the opening day of the season at Grantham, where we lost a game really that we were in control of in the first half. But if you look back at it, Michael Potts was surrounded by 14 debutants on that day.
Yeah.
And it's not surprising that it took a bit of time to knit. And it took a couple of months really, didn't it? But yeah, interesting game, Grantham. They've not won away. They've lost 4 of the last 5 away, so they don't travel well. So let's hope they continue that pattern.
Obviously, the team that we played, I mean, it's a different. It's not too far off the team we presented on that opening day of the season, except our team is a lot more experienced playing together now.
Yeah.
Grantham have chopped and changed a bit since we last. Like, for example, Racky has gone to Ilkeston recently. So
not surprisingly.
But they've still got people like Craig Westcott and players like that who we know to watch.
Yeah, they've got some good players. They've got some very rugged defenders. They've got a new keeper there on loan. Knorrich, I think he's from Stoke, I seem to remember. They've made some changes. They're down in 17th, I think, at the moment. They've had a pretty poor run in recent weeks, and the cup runs didn't really amount to a lot. So, you know, again, it's a game where we have to reinforce our new fortress of Broadhurst Park.
The message will be from the management duo at Grantham, you know, when you look at the resurgence of Atherton Coles and Bamber Bridge and who's in the relegation place at the moment, Gainsborough, Stafford, Buxton, what are the chances of them staying down there? Grantham have to be a bit wary, don't they? And they're not going to rest on the laurels at all, are they? Even though they've got a good points tally at the moment.
I think it's they're very much walking a tightrope at the moment, Grantham, and they really need some points. Obviously, we're on an 11-match unbeaten run here. We've not lost since October the 15th. So I think we're the masters of our own destiny in this game.
And we can be masters of our own downfall. I mean, there was an element of what happened at the South Stephen Stadium in August, which has continued, where, you know, we've had leads and we've
been a bit sloppy on occasion. We've one or two games, we've let in a couple of quick goals and the game's turned around. The Matlock game, for instance, sloppy opening. We were punished for, but we turned it around in style. I think it boils up to a very interesting afternoon. Tundy's obviously gone past the 20-goal mark now. He's the ninth FC player to score 20 in the season. And obviously he's readjusted his target, presumably to 30 or 40.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got a target today, though. I think we said this on Rebel Radio. He's on 21 goals at the moment, isn't he? If he gets to 24, which would require his third hat-trick of the season, that takes it to a nice 24 days of Christmas advent calendar thing on Christmas Day, which will be a special podcast. I'm doing that podcast anyway, but I think it would be better if it was 24 goals rather than 21.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of team news and players who will be playing this afternoon, obviously, last week Luke Griffiths was a bit poorly. He was in attendance, but he wasn't well enough to play. He's back in the team today. Michael Donoghue's dropped to the substitutes bench. He will consider himself a bit unlucky there.
I think he'll be a little bit disappointed, but then again, he knows that Griffiths is the man for that position, isn't he? And the man keeping Donoghue out is somebody else, really.
And when it comes to the new signings, Finn Smith. Wasn't registered in time for the FA Trophy. He's registered in time for the league, and he's on the substitutes bench this afternoon, as is new loan signing from Bradford City, George Sikora. That's a good bit of forward planning, which we've seen with Cameron Belford in the net. We are a bit short centre backs. That covers that off over the festive period.
Well, obviously we've got Morris, who we can swap in, but I also think he's looking at the fact that Curtis Jones has played every game this season. His fitness has been good, but you never know what's around the corner, do you?
Look at that substitutes bench, though, Paul. Lenehan, Sinclair Smith, Sikora, Buckley, Donoghue.
It's strong, isn't it?
That is it. And you know, there's Young who's not made the bench. I mean, it's...
And as we know, non-league football, a lot of non-league football is about loan signings. It's not like the Premier League, where you get a squad of 25 and then that's it.
Well, how often, season after season, were we saying we don't get enough loan signings in? Other clubs are doing it.
And also, we've been beaten by teams like Chorley,
who've
got a player of quality from league football. And we've sat and watched it and said, well, why aren't we doing this?
And look where they are now. Admittedly, they are at the bottom of the conference, but they're in the conference.
We might be meeting again next season.
You never know. Obviously, this FC United are on a bit of a high at the moment, Paul. I think that's a safe thing to say.
It's not just about the goals we've scored, it's about the quality of the football as well, isn't it?
I mean, it's the first half in particular last week, it was saucy.
We've not seen football like that for a long time.
It was sensational stuff.
Yeah.
It really
if anybody's listening who hasn't been to FC recently, we urge you to come and see the new team, because this is a team that plays completely different to previous seasons.
I was going to say, though, the other impressive thing wasn't just the first half performance, it was the second half performance, wasn't it, last week, that was equally impressive, especially that last 5 minutes where it was backs against the wall. And I was listening back to the commentary with Roy, and every time the ball was coming in, Roy had the tone of his voice where he knew we were going to clear it, and we've not had that before.
Yeah, I mean, I just had a confidence that we were going to see it out. But we saw a different side to the team last week, in that they were dogged and they hung on to what they had. Now, this team has been very good going forward. On that occasion, we were hanging on, and we looked fairly good. We knocked everything out that went into the box, and we really did work hard to keep that game going our way. And, of course, we ended up beating a side from National League North. Now, we've equaled the number of wins at home as last season, beating National League North sides, believe it or not.
There was a goal. Isn't there a goal scoring stat as well, where we've scored? Have I just made that up? Have I just gone down a cul-de-sac I shouldn't have gone
down?
I'm
not sure which one you mean.
I might have dreamt that stat, Paul. Sometimes I dream about our conversations that we have in advance. There will be a point where we've scored more goals than we have done last season, won't there?
It's getting close.
It's getting very close.
Yeah. And we can break the 30-point barrier today. I think, did we get 32 last season?
I think it was about 32, wasn't it?
Yeah, we can match that tonight if we win, I think.
Well, so, there we go. And we could go fifth. With a defeat, though, we could go 11th. Yep. So it is on a knife edge.
Topsy-turvy.
Really is. Well, Paul, a big thank you for joining us.
One last stat.
Oh, yeah, one last stat, go on.
Grantham, we won the first six meetings. Lost it on the opening day of the season for the first time. Is it going to go back to form?
There we go. Well, the stats don't lie, Paul. Stats don't lie. Scarily. Thank you to Paul. LiveTeamStats.com, the place to go for all your statty needs from this afternoon's game. Thanks to our friends at Constructive Coding. But it's now time to welcome our commentary team for a little brief chat before the teams come out. Roy, last week we smashed the first half in slick passing and nice movement. In the second half, barring one little slip of concentration, we defended like Trojans. It was an all-round performance last week.
It was, and to be honest, you know, you look at you know, the organisation, I would say, from Cameron Belford. I think he's made a really big input as regards, you know, our defensive structure and defensive discipline and information. And the information alone, you know, that he's giving out is helping the lads in front of him. So it's quality.
Well, that's just the mince pies that's just been donated to you, right?
Yeah.
Right, well, James is here as well. Are you looking forward to breaking your voice today again? Because that's how games are at the moment.
Yeah, it is. It is.
We've not done this for a while.
It's all about that. It's a good job I didn't do the Lancaster 3-2 as well, wasn't it?
No,
I would have no voice left. But well, it'd be interesting to see. I think that, you know, Brenner was saying to me that he's expecting a tough game today, and I think that it's the congested nature of the league. We're 7 points off the leaders, but only 7 points clear of these who are what, fifth from bottom. So I think that La Liga is still sorting itself out, really, and will continue to do so.
Yeah, but as long as we keep winning, that's the most important thing. As Tim winds up his voice, so it's now time to hand over to our expert coverage team for this afternoon's game. This is FC Live, brought to you by ConstructiveCoding.com, and you lovely people, the Armchair Army. It's FC United against Grantham Town in the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, and this is Roy Sewell, but first, James Quinn.
And now it's Griffiths. Griffiths plays it back to Jones. Jones just inside his own half for FC United. Plays it forward to Griffiths. Griffiths, nice ball to... That was for Curran. Curran, oh, Alabi trying to thrust through here. Good defending in numbers there, but Lenny... Alabi! And that was excellent work there from Lenny. It appeared as though Alabi was outnumbered there. The ball broke to the right. Pursuing it was Regan Lenny, played a nice ball in. Alabi continued his run and tapped it in. And FC good value for a 1-0 lead.
Well, Regan Lenny, what he basically did was he just took a little extra touch on it, which it kidded the Grantham defender to actually put a foot down initially. And he would, from that moment, he was flat-footed. He was rooted to the floor. And then on his second touch, he just fed it in and across. And this time, Tundi was on the move. A thing that he should have been on that header, to be honest. He was on the move. The absolute superb goal in the seventh minute.
Free kick taken by Kanurik, and that's chipped forward speculatively, but Belford will collect. He hasn't been tested so far. He rolls this up to Curtis Jones. FC United 1 and Grantham 0. We played 13 minutes. Charlie Ennis. Potts. Potts, good through ball. And oh, Alabi, chance for Curran to make it 2! Hello, Alabi!
And it's there!
Alabi, well, it made a bit of a meal of that there. Curran, I thought, could have finished himself, but unselfishly played it to Alabi. Oh, Alabi gave it such a gentle touch for a moment. I wondered if the keeper might scramble back and save it, but not a bit of it. FC 2, both goals to Alabi, Grantham 0.
Yeah, and to be honest, Alex Curran was wondering whether or not it was going to go over the line and nursed it over, although his natural instinct was to give it a little tap. If he had tapped it, he was offside, and the linesman was looking for that little touch on the ball. As you say, Tundi again linking up with play, good little build-up play there between him and Curran, and Curran just knocked it off sweetly.
And
2-0.
And FC United, well, it's really impressive from the home side. Played just over 14 minutes. They're 2 to the good here against Grantham, and absolutely totally deserved here, because FC have dominated this game. Threaded through now as Grantham trying to mount an attack on the right hand side, but it's a poor ball, and Dodd is alert, plays it forward. Linney there tries a first time ball, still has it though. spreads it out right hand side but doesn't put enough on it, and Barrett plays it back now. As a curious ball and all over the place. That was James Barrett there trying a 1-2 with Adelican, but ball goes out for a throw into FC just inside Grantham territory. Now can FC put the foot on the neck of this team and not leave the door open for a comeback? Now it's Potts.
Give it.
Square ball to Dodd. Dodd now. Now Owalabi, already 2 to his name today, 23 for the season. Nice turn there from Corrin on the edge of the box. Corrin takes it through.
Oh, and he owned it.
Corrin, can he do it? It's 3-0. The Potts in the end put it in. But Potts puts it in. And FC just running through Grantham here. It's 3-0 after a quarter of an hour.
Yeah, again, really good work by Alex Curran. I thought his ball control going through. I mean, he took on the initial defender, came up against a blocker two, touched the ball into it, and touched the ball into the space behind the these two blocks of defenders, and then got a touch on it. Goalkeeper came out, saved it initially, but there was Mickey Potts following up to touch a ball into the goal from about 2 yards out.
And Craig Wesker, the Grantham skipper, spreads his arms to the rest of the team as if to say, what are you doing? Will this free kick be taken in the 2019? Yes, it will. Spreads it out left hand side. Dodd, square ball. And then Ennis on the turn. Oh, beautiful. Thinks about a shot from the edge of the box. Right, but it's blocked. He needed to shoot first time there, I think, Charlie Ennis. And bringing out a play is, bring out of the area is done. And now quick break here. Onside is Wesker on the left flank there. And Bartle's made a good run here as Wesker spreads it out to Zoko, right hand side. Zoko into the box on the right hand side. Good tackle from Dodd. And he keeps it in play as well. And now Linney can break
on
space in front of him. Over halfway is Linney. He's got three red shirts in the middle. Linney still towards the box. Linney shoots.
Oh, goal.
Curran. Oh. And Linney hit the underside of the bar. So unlucky. And Curran was there for the rebound. But he couldn't get hold of it. And there was an offside. But goodness me, what a run from Linney. And how unlucky to hit the underside of the bar. About to enter the final minute of the 90. Campbell bringing it in field, but he's tackled well there by Dodd. Griffiths clears. Owalabi pursues for the speed of the man. Now he's on his own here. Can he find his way in? No, he can't. He's still pressurising that back line, but it is cleared by Bartle. Morris heads it down well. Linney has it now. Linney spreads it out to Morris, now takes it towards the byline. Morris, no hurry for Morris, brings it to Linney now. Linney though, a bit casual, loses possession.
Keep him there. Just keep
now
him there.
Done.
Well done.
Oh, well done there. And now Linney brings it in field, threads it in nicely. On the turn is Smith to the byline, across. Oh, he hits the post. On the edge of the box now. Donoghue left footed. Donoghue to the byline. Gets a cross in!
Yes!
And it's in!
Get in!
And it's Aaron Morris and FC United.
FC United, scored by our number two, Aaron Morris!
Well, I would suggest that is everything that FC deserve. They've had chances, they've had a goal disallowed.
And indicated there a minimum of 4 minutes added time.
And in an
evening, 4 minutes added time.
An afternoon of fours. FC have their four goals, and how pleasing this will be for Neil Reynolds and his coaching team. Free kick for FC United. We've played three of the 4 minutes of added time. FC 4-0 in front here. Seeing this game out there, but we're thinking, can they fashion one last opportunity? Possibly for Owalabi to complete another hat-trick. Oh, good ball, Owalabi on the turn, edge of the box. Owalabi with a shot, and it's just wide. And how quickly does he turn on a ball, snap that shot in, just wide there to the keeper's left-hand post. Every right to go for that one. Couldn't quite finish it.
It shows you, James, he definitely wants that third one, doesn't he?
Yeah, no thought there of a square ball.
No, there's only one thought on his mind, turn, shoot. I noticed, like, before and all, it could have made a bit of a heavier challenge, say, about a couple of minutes ago, which he sort of pulled out of, which was just.
Well, there goes the final whistle. And FC United have beaten Grantham Town by 4-0. It was 3-0 pretty early on. And FC, after that, taking a 3-0 lead after, what, 16 minutes, then kept control of the game throughout, had chances to make it 4. Tony Alabi had a goal disallowed towards the end when there was some contact with the keeper. But then right at the end, deservedly, after a lot of pressure, a lot of chances, fourth goal goes in from Aaron Morris. Nice to see him getting on the score sheet. And a really professional, thorough performance from FC United, Roy.
Yeah, I think they've done, they're feeling the rewards of all their hard work, throughout the season. And in this, say, 10-game-ish build-up, you know, to this point, they're going into the Christmas and the New Year fixture list and festivities, you know, on a high. They need to keep themselves up there. Don't be doing anything silly, you know, over the festive periods. Remember that if you want to get higher in this game, you know, you have to live accordingly.
Well, higher, FC United have gone this afternoon up to fifth now in the league positions. A fair few results going our way, some surprising results. Obviously, FC United winning by 4-0. Still, league's top goal scorers now with 41 goals. We looked earlier, FC United scored 49 in the league last season. So we're nearly there. So up to fifth. We're now 1 point behind Warrington. Warrington Town were beaten this afternoon by 4-0 at Morpeth Town. We're now 3 points behind Basford with a game in hand. Basford United were beaten 4-1 at home to Hyde United. Radcliffe, who were in the playoffs at the start of the day, have dropped down now to sixth. That's because they were beaten 3-0 at South Shields. Right. So a bit of a tonking there for our friends just across the way. Stalybridge Celtic have dropped down a place as well. They were beaten this afternoon by 3-1 at home to Mickleover Sports.
Oh,
which is a great result for Mickleover.
Shame, isn't it?
So Hyde United have moved up to 8th. Witten Albion have dropped down as well. They were beaten this afternoon by 3-2 at home to Whitby Town. A much needed win that for Whitby. Elsewhere and a bit higher up, obviously we touched upon South Shields. South Shields are 7 points ahead of us in the league table after that win over Radcliffe. Lancaster City picked up a
same
win.
Same games.
Well, no, they've got a game in hand.
Right.
Lancaster City, who played two games more than FC United. Lancaster City were triumphant this afternoon, 3-0 at Stafford Rangers. It was 0-0 between Gainsborough Trinity and Nantwich Town. And just for the record, just a couple of other results. Bamber Bridge 1, Matlock Town 2, and Buxton 5, Scarborough Athletic 0.
Whoa.
And the match between Atherton Coles and Ashton United was postponed earlier for good old-fashioned waterlogging. So up to fifth, Roy. We were saying at half-time, if, bearing in mind the quality of the teams up at the top, the league are really going to need 5 automatic promotion spots, aren't they, to sort this out, because there's so many good teams up at the top end.
Yeah, and to be honest, I mean, the proof of the competition of the and depth of this league is the fact that, you know, you've got the top teams there, a lot of them losing to lower clubs, you know, and I mean, that's a telling factor of the strength and the fact that, you know, consistency and, you know, not just skills and ability, consistency of performing well week in and week out is what's going to keep the teams up there in the rightful positions.
And I'm sorry, Ryan.
I think, like, you know, like you say, you know, with this slight organisation of the leagues and the divisions, you know, it's all to play for.
We would suggest that our time, whoever gets promoted, the two teams who do get promoted out of this league, they are going to do very well next year.
I think so, yeah, but, you know, time never stands still, and the fact is, you know, you're still going to need recruitments just to keep, shall we say, the established players on their toes, but also refreshing it as well, you know. No good getting stale. I was always a great believer of bringing, you know, quite a few players in early doors and then fishing it down. I used to bring 10 in at least and then fish them down to maybe 3, you know, so.
Well, they've still got a long way to go this season. We're not quite out of 2019. We have got one game left. Everyone's playing on Boxing Day apart from FC United. We're travelling to Hurst Cross next Saturday for that match
against Ashton United, and we were saying at half time we owe Ashton United one. Those two matches last year against Ashton and Curzon Ashton, that was the turning point. That was really what sent us down last year, the start of it really.
Well, to be honest though, Ben, you know, you look at them and you know what, we got what we deserved.
Yeah,
you know, it's no good, you know, blaming who we play against. You have to look at yourself first.
No, what I'm trying to say is
put your matters right.
It'd be good to go there and right the wrong.
I do understand.
Thanks, Ron.
Yeah, I do. But you see, like, you know, it's all right, you know, talking about, you know, the last couple of seasons or whatever you and what have you. You reap what you sow, and you look at this team now, you know, Reynolds and his staff, don't forget that, you know, it's not all down to one man, never has been. The fact is, like, you know, it's a team effort. Team effort off the field, it's a team effort on the field, and they're reaping the rewards of, you know, of their hard work and the diligence, like, you know, that they put into you know, making themselves successful.
Here's a squad game, Roy, as well, and Donoghue gets 10 minutes towards the end there after putting in almost a man of the match performance last week. It's harsh, isn't it, because then you're looking at the bench and Jack Lenehan's sitting there after, you know, setting up that Dole effort a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It's tough, isn't it, to juggle all this that Neil's got.
You know, the thing is, and I've said it right down the line, you know, to Reno himself, that he's got an absolute quality bench here where you can bring players off and put players on. And if they're not having a good game, yeah, you can sort of up the levels of enjoyment and quality. If they are having a good game, like in the case of Potts this afternoon, mm-hmm. and the other young man,
Curran,
yeah, I thought he had a great first 45 minutes. You're bringing them off for the right reasons, aren't you? You're bringing them off because you've got a 3-0 lead. Yeah, you want to give them a good run out so you can, in your heart of hearts and on your chest, say, I know that these lads will go on. And the performance and the quality of what we're performing at this moment will not drop. So, you know, in both cases, it's a great, you know, a great advert for, you know, what we're actually seeing at FC this season.
And obviously Smith comes on. It's tough, isn't it, especially for a flair player, because you often try too hard. But towards the end there, he played a pivotal role in that fourth goal in the inside of the post.
To be honest, I mean, initially when he first came on, he was trying too hard. You could see what he was trying to do. He was trying to impress. He was doing his little step overs, trying to jink about, you know.
Do you see the similarities with, I mean, we said...
You're going to say Rocker, aren't you?
Well, it's just because of his height and the fact he likes to come in on his right.
Yeah, but Rocker, I think, was a little bit more...
Another level, wasn't he, I suppose?
A little bit more refined, yeah, shall we say, put it that way. And plus the fact I taught him as well, I coached him, you know what I mean? So
he's the chairman now, isn't he? Yeah, of course. So. That's Stockport Sports, or Stockport Town, is it called?
Yeah.
It's Stockport Town, isn't it?
Yeah. But like I say, you know, and what he needed to do really was, you know, he wants to impress, and you know, and that's no problem with that. But maybe, you know, the other lads should have just said, you know, the more mature lads, just calm down, you know, and everything will work out for you. And I felt he did start to calm down, you know, towards the latter end. And because of that, he found himself in a nice little bit of space where he thumped that right foot shot against the foot of the post, you know, that everybody was jumping up on it. And it's a shame, really, that... you know, that one didn't go in, because it might have just settled him down a little bit more, you know, where he doesn't have to go and improve, you know, and prove his, you know, that he's good enough to be here. He's here, so he's good enough. More than anything, for me, he's a different option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't got an out-and-out winger. We haven't got one. We've got lads who are basically midfield players that fill those areas, and there isn't always a great finish to the crosses as well, so you know that might be another little thing that is you know, he's trying to add to the squad. It's just a little bit of variety more than anything, but you know, he's got plenty of time to come in, and first of all he has to find his feet and feel welcome, you know, as the speckies will always make him feel welcome, but also within the squad as well. You know, it's important that the squad accept him and the squad have a good feel for them.
Before Neil joins us, just a quick mention for the fact we have kept a clean sheet this afternoon. And a great save for Calvin Belford in the first half.
Oh,
led
yeah.
to that.
Tremendous, yeah, it was. It was absolutely superb. But, you know, at the end of the day, again, like I say, I think Belford has been a real telling point. You know, everybody talks about Tunde, but I think Belford has been a real telling point, you know, as regards the composure and the build-up and make-up of the team.
Well, Neil has joined us. Thank you very much, Neil.
No problem.
We've talked a lot about the way that the side has played well recently, but then kind of maybe made a mistake late on, and then we've had the sort of finish. There was none of that today. Was that all about professionalism in
your
team?
Yeah, it was a superb performance. You know, the way we started the game, and it's always difficult when you go 3-0 up in such succession, and we've got a lot of ball, and it's hard to keep your professionalism. I thought we did. We came in at half-time, we said the key thing today is a clean sheet. It's got to be the clean sheet, but also with a fourth goal or a fifth goal to get us in the playoffs, hopefully. And, you know, they executed the plan superbly well, and, you know, we scored that one at the end. We could have had one from Finn, could have had one from Regan when he hit the bar. No, it was fantastic. And there's no easy games, but at the minute we're playing very well. We're playing very well.
And the clean sheet, is that about concentration? Because they did have a spell. They had three or four corners, having not had any. Is it about players basically doing their job till the 94th minute or whatever?
Yeah, and we do a lot of work now, not defending your man, but defending space as well. So when you get two touch tight, someone gets a runner on you. So it's about, you know, knowing where the next man is. And we've done quite a lot of work on that on set pieces the last few weeks because we've conceded off a few. And thought today, you know, we won the first header, we won the second header, and then we break on the edge of the box. But it was. And what pleased me more than anything today was the way we passed the ball. I thought the way we passed the ball was exquisite. I really do. And, you know, from the middle of the park and, you know, with Luke Griffiths in there, I felt sorry for Donners because he did great last week. But Luke comes in there and he's just such a good player. He gets it, moves it from right to left. And I just thought everybody, and then Donners come on, you know, late on, and was equally superb. So no, I'm really, really chuffed. You know, we're on a really good run at the minute.
And is the quality, is it? Would you put it down? We've talked about this before. Is it down to what you're doing on the training field, or is it about those players now just being relaxed and be able to express themselves, or a blend of those?
We always do everything on the training ground. You know, we're religious. We don't make excuses for going over the same messages. It's like give the same messages time and time and time again, shaping and out of possession. But they've got an opportunity to. They're playing really good football, so they can relax. Not relax in terms of taking the foot off the gas, but relax when they're in possession and play the right pass. And if the right pass goes wrong, it goes wrong, and we just go out and get on it again. And, you know, we're not going to be perfect in games, you know. But, you know, there's times today it could be overcritical. It brought down the top end, for example, but I'm not. You know, they're moving the ball great. They're not surrendering possession. The rotations, I mean, the three behind Tundy in the first half, they were popping up left, centre and right, and they just kept rotating it, and that's what we do work on.
And Belford, let's not. So the moment, he's not much to do, but suddenly he's got, just before half time, Zoko one on one, could have changed the equilibrium of the game.
Yeah,
brilliant
save. And that's probably the worst period of the game for us. You maybe heard me from here. 10 minutes, I just thought we went lax. We started going backwards instead of forwards. And, you know, they got an opportunity. We started taking too many touches. It brought down with Griffiths down there instead of coming out to Dodd. And they go down the other end, and Camp stood tall and, you know, saved it. And that's what he's there for. But not just his save, I thought his kicking was excellent today.
Oh.
But two out of play, but the rest of his distribution was yeah. outstanding.
There was one amazing one for Linney at the end, which nearly led to a goal. First introduction for Smith, who does look, I mean, he, at times you feel like he was maybe trying too hard, but you can see his natural instinct is a step over and all that. He looks like tailor-made for FC, really.
He's a great player, you know, all 5 foot two, 5 foot three of him, but he's a great player. He's got a little step over, he's got pace, he's got goals in him. Unlucky not to get off, you know, on his debut at the end. But he's a different kind of winger than what we've got, and that's what I've been after now. You know, something a little bit different, where, you know, we've got the likes of Ennis and Donoghue and Linney and, you know, them type of players that can go right and left. But I think with Finn, he's just more direct than a lot of them, and, you know, it's just another option for us.
It always seems churlish to slightly criticise Tundy, who was brilliant on the mark, but he seemed to get involved in a bit of niggle today. It's his fourth booking.
Yeah.
Was he being provoked? Do you know?
I thought so. I think number four, you know, maybe the liner couldn't see through the pack of players when he threw him to the ground, and then, you know, left one in on him. So Tundy's got a little bit riled, and then, you know, but he's got no better. Listen, I'm not going to defend him. He's got no better. We talked about his disciplinary record. He's going to get bumps and bruises. He plays up there, and he's got to be better with that, because without Tundy in the side, you know, we're probably not as good. And that's the thing. So he's got to, you know, doesn't want to let the lads down by doing something silly. But then he's got another two goals again today. Unlucky not to get his hat trick, because he was in really good areas. But you know, listen, we're not going to nitpick. It's a great win.
And Was it a goal? I mean, he did seem to have it. For a moment, we thought he had his hat trick. Keeper goes down, but it's one of those, seemed to us, it's one of those where if you go anywhere near a keeper, because he was entitled to go up for the ball.
It's a goal. It's a goal. But wherever I look at it, it's a goal. If that happens to my keeper, I'm questioning my keeper. It's a goal. And I'm not going to rant and rave. Their bench didn't do either. Their bench said it's a goal. You know, this keeper was a little bit weak and he was unlucky, but I think the referee had a little bit in for him and, you know, it was quite an easy one for him. But, you know.
And how luxurious, talking of benches, we've been speaking about this on air. How luxurious is it for you to have the quality that you've got on that bench and to try and keep those players, you know, happy
it's,
and all
it's
the rest
hard. I mean, you look over your shoulder now and you've got lads out there doing a little bit. You know, the likes of Donoghue and Lenehan and Joe Shakora who just brought in. You've got Buckley to bring on. You've got real good options. And I feel devastated for George and for Jack today. I feel devastated for Louis Mayes who didn't get in the squad and young Ben who didn't get in the squad. You know, we've got an exceptional squad here and, you know, everyone wants everyone to do well, but they want to play football. And for me, it's hard. Everyone says it's a nice headache to have. It isn't. It's not, because you want everyone to play football.
Although, because of the cup run, you're going to have, as this season goes on, you're going to start having two game weeks soon with some long trips, maybe in Woodweek, and that squad will probably come to the fore.
Absolutely. I mean, now we've got a centre-half that can cover our centre-halves. I've got, you know, Ash Young's missing today as well. I've got full-backs. Adam Dobb misses the next game, so it gives an opportunity for somebody else to go in there. But I just think I've got strength in every single area now, and I just hope that everyone stays patient, because they'll get minutes. You know, we've got the League Cup, we've got the Manchester Cup, you've got the trophy, you've got league games coming back to back now, and as it gets a little bit tense towards the end of the season, you know, after Christmas, and people start getting tired and getting knocked, we'll have to rotate it. But we're in a fabulous position. We've got a wonderful squad, a squad that we built in pre-season and added to, you know, as we're going along. But, you know, predominantly it's the same group of players that have been here, and the fans get to know them.
I think you've done absolutely superb here today. You know, the lads all deserve a pat on the back for their efforts. I mean, we've been asked to pick out the three best players, but we're back to the same thing as what we was last week. You know, you have to go with what you feel. What's your feelings on that?
Today?
Three best ones.
Today, I thought Doyle was exceptional. I thought he was exceptional in both boxes. I thought my captain was instrumental yet again.
Some first of the balls, 60 minutes, unbelievable.
Some of the balls
that
he played, and got a little twinge on his back. And I know the obvious one's going to go with Sunday, but when you see Regan Linney in full flow, the way he does, he travels with the ball.
You've just picked three of the four there for me. I say Regan Linney, absolutely outstanding. Some of them runs he was making, he was just stretching them out all over the show. And just, you know, on a couple of occasions, just need to look up just at the last moment for that pass.
Regan Linney's at his best when he's in full tilt. That one in the second tremendous half where he's travelled from the halfway line, smashed it against the bar. That's Regan at his best. And, you know, he's just getting better every game. And for me, I think he's the pick of the three. But, you know, they all deserve the plaudits today. And
definitely.
It's 12 unbeaten. It's another home win here. You know, we looked at the games that were coming up and we just targeted home wins, and that's what we've got. So it's been a good month, which takes us into Christmas. And then obviously we focus on the next game, which is Ashton. But, you know, just before we go off, I'd just like to wish everyone connected with FC United a really happy Christmas, all the best for the new year, and hopefully, you know, we can make it a momentous 2020, because I know that dressing room is desperate for success.
Well, so the guys that we've been chasing have lost,
right, okay.
You know, so we're right up there, you know, in the playoffs. So, you know, everything's looking really well at this moment in time, Neil.
Yeah, we'll keep a feel on the ground, just keep working hard, and, you know, who knows. But yeah, we're enjoying the ride.
Right, great stuff.
Brilliant. Well, thanks very much, Neil. And no, I'll see you again later at the Christmas party.
Absolutely, will do. Cheers, guys. Thank you.
FC Live there from Saturday afternoon. As discussed there, no Boxing Day clash for FC United this season. Instead, the Reds will return to action this Saturday with an away trip to Ashton United. The address for the ground is Hurst Cross, Surrey Street, Ashton _ OL68DY. That's Hurst Cross, OL68DY. Kickoff on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But if you cannot make this match in person, then have no fear, the FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And that's it for this week's This Club Is My Club. You can hear this show on Mondays and Tuesdays at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. on www.fc-radio.co.uk. And on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUM Radio. A big thank you to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, have a very Merry Christmas.
This is FCUM Radio, officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.